Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles real quick. Matthew chapter 8. Still on authority. I don't know how long I'll be on it. Maybe I'll be on it until we start using it. Somebody went, huh? What? I figure we might as well start at the top. If you're going to talk about authority and faith, you know, we'll start with the guy that Jesus said had the greatest faith of everybody he had met during his 3.5 years. Now, by the way, let me put this in here. There are sometimes legitimate reasons for not attending a service. People come before everything. When I was learning how to fast, and I'm still learning, don't get me wrong, but when I was first learning, you know, and I would put my fast up on a pedestal above people. And he said, no, you're not understanding. The purpose of the fasting and the praying and the worshiping is so you can become my servant to the people. He says, no. That person is dying for fellowship. Take them to lunch. After that time is over, go back on your fast. Now, I know I'm going to have legalists get mad at me about that. I don't care. People come before religion. Okay? So I'm just saying, though, on those normal days where it's just sleep. Okay. Matthew 8, real quick. So let's just read it. We got time. Let's get our mind back on this again. Verse 5, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. So I always like to point out, this is not just a head cold. Grievously tormented. This is bad. Jesus said unto him, I will come and pray for him. Now, what? Okay, y'all are listening. See, that's the attitude of the church. And up until now, he's had trouble getting us to even do that. To even have that much gumption. Gumption, is that okay? To have that much courage. Just get us to go pray. I'll go pray for them. And even you, you know, you're going like, well, it'll be a miracle if they get healed. I mean, well, it would be a miracle, but anyway. You know what I'm saying. That is not his attitude. And that's not the attitude he wants us to have. During the conference, he had me go through those cases where he sent out the 12. He did not say, go pray for the sick. Now this is, he didn't say go pray for the sick. He said go heal the sick. When he sent out the 70, now we don't even know the names of hardly any of those 70. They are just people that probably followed him and probably heard his messages. But as far as I know, we don't know if they were ever called into full-time ministry or anything. You're just Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper believers. Believing whatever they could at the time. The new birth wasn't available yet, but they were following him. And he comes and he says to 70, and it's like he says, I pick you, I pick you, I pick you, I pick you, I pick you. And you're in the crowd and you're hoping, oh God, I hope he doesn't pick me. But he picks you. And you're up, he called you up. And I don't know if he laid his hands on him or what, but he commissioned him. And he sent him out, and he did not say, pray for the sick. He said, go into these cities and heal the sick that are therein. Now that's where he's moving us. From the attitude of, I'll go pray, but I don't know what's going to happen. To the attitude of, I'll go heal the sick that are there. Now that's what he's called us to do. Believers shall lay hands on the sick. And they what? Shall. Doesn't get any more positive in every time than shall. They shall recover. So Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion was being real nice to Jesus because they were still under the dispensation legally of the law until the cross. And under the law, it was not lawful for a Jew to go under the roof of a Gentile. So the centurion's being really courteous to Jesus. And he said, no. When he says, I'm not worthy that thou comest under my roof, he just means, look, I'm not a Jew. I'm a Roman. You don't need to come under my roof. But just speak the word only. and my servant shall be healed. Now, I had this thought this morning while I was just preparing, and I'm not really exactly saying it's the Lord, but I'm pretty sure it is. I want to lay down a challenge for you. Here's a challenge, just a thought, just for your own edification. See if for one waking day, from the time you get up till the time you go to bed that night, you speak the word only. Now, I don't mean it's chapter and verse, but every time you speak, it's either the word or it's in line with the word. Everything you say, just for one waking day. It might give you a gauge as to why we're not seeing revival. Mm-hmm. Can you tell we're getting into real stuff now?
Yes.
You know? Oh, I don't want to tell that. I first heard that kind of a challenge probably 28, 29 years ago through another minister on TV. And he said, it was teaching a message something like, set a watch upon your lips. I was all pride. I was Christian. I was born again. All pride. Had not been through mortification yet. Had never heard. Didn't know there was a Dave Roberson on planet Earth. Didn't know anything about mortification or anything. But thought I was it. Okay, I'm making myself clear. Okay. I challenged my wife, and I heard this through a TV minister. I challenged Sue, and I was just so sure I would win this thing. And help me, Sue, if I don't say it exactly right, but it was something along this line. Every time I hear you say something that's not in line with the Word of God, I'm just going to come up to you, and I'm just going to say, I agree with you in Jesus' name. Like, okay, let's take an extreme. My back is killing me. I agree with you. And, oh, no, I don't want that, see? Well, I was just so sure I was going to win this thing. I mean, don't you know who I am? I challenged her. That was the worst challenge I ever made in my life. Until I went through it, though, that day, I had no idea the foolishness, worse than foolish, the damning things. Can I say that in church? The horrible things, and it wasn't like curse words or anything, but just stuff that is just not at all the way Jesus would ever talk, and the way no child of God should ever talk. I mean, that was the worst deal I ever made. That woman, I hardly caught her in three things all day long, and she caught me in three every 10 minutes. I had no idea what was coming out of my mouth was so unlike the Word of God. Well, y'all know I teach confession a lot. That was the beginning days of me finding out Gary needed to change his confession. Gary, and I'll tell you, the way to do it is not work so much on your confession as it is work on filling yourself up with the Word of God, because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. Hallelujah. I'm glad I came today. I'm liking this message. Verse 8 again. Okay, well, try that. Take a day. Pick a day. And don't do like I did. Don't challenge your spouse. Just you and God. Just you and God. Because that's really what you're trying to find out. And see if you can go a day. And everything you say, either be directly the word or in line with the word. Just for one day. It's an eye-opener. It really is. Anyway, getting back to the centurion. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Boy. If that sentence is not underlined in your Bible, please. Speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. For years I misread this next verse, and it's the most important part. Because it's the part that gives us the insight as to how he had this faith. For years I misread it. I thought he was saying, for I am a man of authority. Because, he was. But that's not the secret. The secret is he was a man under authority. See, you're never going to have authority until you become a man or a woman under authority. And again, I have to go through this. Who was he under authority to? Rome, Caesar. His life. He gave his life into the service of Caesar. Now, in a practical way, he gave up a lot of rights. He doesn't get to choose what city he lives in. He doesn't get to choose who his workmates are. He doesn't get to choose his assignment. I wonder how many men maybe were executed on his order that came down from Caesar. We're talking about the world, but the principle of authority is the same. He gave up his right. Well, is this right or wrong? See, that's where our nation is right now. Our nation is trying to make laws, different laws, based on human understanding of what is right and wrong. And the more you do that, the more you come out from under the authority of the only one who can make those decisions. See, every time we make a decision like that, we're taking ourselves more out as a nation, more out from underneath his authority. But this man understood. And so Rome, Caesar, watched him from the time he enlisted or was drafted as a private, I guess. You know, you start at the bottom. And they would watch him and find him. The New Testament word would be faithful, obedient. Well, he really is under authority. Whatever we tell him, he does it. Maybe his job to start was digging latrines. But he'd dig them and do them right. Make good military latrines. You know, they got to have, anyway, latrines. But he did it faithfully. And maybe, knowing Rome, I mean, what I read, there probably was instructions. It needs to be this wide, this deep, that long. And he would do it the way they said. So they'd watch him. Said, maybe this guy is more valuable than latrine digging. Let's move him up to this. And they'd watch him at that level. Well, let's move him up to this. And what was it that they were watching? Obedience. Faithfulness. Willing to do what he was told. Plain English. Well, finally, this guy, he was trusted. He has proved faithful. I could teach right now. Jesus says, the way up is the way down. You remember that? You know, don't take the highest seat, take the lowest seat. He'll watch you there. Then him that called you, eventually he'll say, friend, come up higher. Well, that's how you work up. That's how authority comes. But eventually this man, because he had continued to be a man under authority, they gave him power, authority, over 100 men. Centurion, that means century, where we get century, 100. He had at least 100 men under him. And Rome trusted him. And Rome empowered him. And again, these 100 men under him, look what he says. I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say, boy, again, if you underline. And I say, how is authority released? And I say. And I say to this man, go. And he goeth. You notice there's no argument. And to another, come. And he cometh. And he also apparently had servants. And to my servants, do this. And he doeth it. Now here's the thing. Were they obeying those 100 men? Let's just take the soldiers. Were they obeying him? What if this guy was a 90-pound weakling? Little bitty scrawny guy. They couldn't get a helmet small enough. They put his, you know, he comes out and his helmet's one size too big and it sits down, you know. Maybe he had to take a cloth and put it on the inside of his helmet to hold it up where he could see. I'm trying to make the point, they were not obeying him because he was Arnold Schwarzenegger. They're not obeying him because he is a big bad guy. No, they didn't. Well, why did they obey him? Because of the power of Rome that he had access to. I mean, if he gave an order and you say no, you say no. I mean, if they had to pull off every soldier from every battlefield in all of Europe and bring all of the military equipment and the battering rams and whatever. All, if need be, all the power of Rome would come to make sure that what this man said would come to pass. He says, I'm a man under authority. When I speak, it is done. No argument. When I speak, it is done. Now, somehow this man had a revelation that Jesus was completely under the authority of Almighty God. I've read it to you more than once. It's John 5:30. I do nothing of myself. I do not consult my own will. I'm only here to do the pleasure of Him that sent me. Jesus was 100% sold out under the authority of God Almighty. So this centurion, he had a revelation. In the same way, I am under the authority of Caesar, and when I speak, the power of Caesar enforces what I say. I know that you, Jesus, are under the authority of Almighty God, and when you speak, all of heaven, every angel, God the Holy Ghost Himself, all the power, now this, you ready? All the power of the universe is, maybe more than one, I don't know, all the power that there is there to back up what you say. Fast forwarding. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Therefore, you go. There is power in the name of Jesus. And when you go and you speak in His name, it is no different than if Jesus spoke it Himself. And I mean all the power that exists, if we know it, is there to back up what you say. No wonder He's starting to train us. Train us. See if you can go a waking day and only speak the word or what's in line with the word. And if you can't, don't get discouraged. Be encouraged that you found out. Because we can change. We can grow, can't we? Hallelujah. All right. Verse 9 again. I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now, I want to make sure you get this. This man knew that Jesus, because he was completely under the authority of God, when Jesus spoke to any sickness, that sickness had to go the same way that the centurion's soldier had to go. He says, I know you have authority over sickness. Now, what was it called here? Grievous palsy. His servant was lying home, grievously tormented of the palsy. Now, in plain English, he's saying, I know you have authority over palsy. And if you speak to palsy, it has to go. Like when I speak to my men, they have to go. And Jesus said, I've not found faith like this. Look what he says here. Verse 10. When Jesus heard that, when he heard it, he marveled. You don't find very often where Jesus marveled. I like how I said it during the conference. It's like Jesus went, somebody gets it. I've been preaching this, and finally somebody gets it. I marvel. Because I haven't found anybody else that gets it. This guy gets it. He understands. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, wouldn't that not include the 12? Verily I say unto you. Now you got to get this. This is a Roman centurion, not a Jew. Everybody following are Jews. Especially the 12. They just say, talk about the 12. They're in training, and they know they're in training. And Jesus turns to them, and here's this, quote, uncircumcised Roman who has no covenant with God. And he turns to the 12 and he says, are you getting the picture? He looks at that guy, looks at them. Looks at that guy, looks at them. He said it real nice. I have not found faith like that guy has. Not in Israel. He's nicer than I am. I might would have said, how come you don't have faith like him? They were learning how to be men under authority. This man had a lifetime of experience of being a man under authority. We all progressively are becoming a people under authority. See, sprinkled in all these recent lessons, he keeps taking us back to Luke chapter 6. I believe it's 46, or right in that area where he says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And it's not just the universal things like love your enemy, pray for those that despitefully use you, and that type of, that's universal. But it's also would include the very thing he said this morning. I have called you, some of you, into full time or into your calling, and you basically are saying no to me. That wasn't a horrible rebuke, but it was like, come on. Come on. And it's a trust thing. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now let's, these next two verses, 11 and 12, really are talking about the change of covenant that's coming. But come on down to verse 13. So we stay right with the centurion here. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Now that so in your King James Bible is in italics. It helps me to mark through that one. As you have believed, be it done unto thee. See, I kept expecting him to say something, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I kept looking for Jesus to say, thy servant is healed. Just, thy servant is healed. I expected him to say that, but he didn't say it that way. He said, what he said was, as thou hast believed, be it done. And it dawned on me. That's the decree of heaven. That's the New Testament. All things are possible to him that believes. It's like the king has stood up in heaven. Said, all right, everyone be quiet just for a minute. Just for a minute. I have an announcement. I'm the king of heaven. I'm the king of the kingdom. I have a decree to make. From this day forward, as you have believed, be it done unto you. And I mean, heaven will back that up. Heaven will back that up. I gave the testimony in conference, which I won't today again. When I was diagnosed with melanoma cancer and they gave me 6 months to live, suddenly your attention level goes way up. Got my attention, smack, smack. And Sue asked me the best question. She did not ask me, Gary, what do you know? Now, I believe in knowledge. I can give you scripture after scripture to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But she didn't ask me, what do I know? Because I knew head knowledge that I could just, you know, it's possible to be instantly healed. And that's it. I knew that. I had knowledge. She didn't ask me, what did I know? She said, what do you believe? No, she said, what can you believe? That's it. What can you believe? And I ran my internal diagnostic system. Quickly, I'm shortening this. I said, there's two things I can believe. Now, he gave me 6 months. He said, son, I don't think you have 6 months. You need to get your affairs in order. So he said, what can you believe? Now, as you have believed, be it done. So what can you believe? I said, I can believe two things. That the diagnosis we just received does not have to be that bad. And number two, whatever happens, they're going to get every cell of this cancer out of my body. She reached over and high-fived me. I agree with you in Jesus' name. Now, I'm shortening this way down. The doctor who gave us the first diagnosis is not the one who does the treatment. We had to go see him. After he ran all of his tests, he had a different countenance on his face. First thing he said was, I don't want to get your hopes up. on the inside, I'm going, for the love of God, please get my hopes up. The other guy gave me almost no hope at all, you know. But anyway, I didn't say that out loud. He says, this might just be what's called a... Now, what's the diagnosis? What's the two things? The diagnosis change and get every cell out. He says, well, this might just be what we know, what we call a surface spreading melanoma. So what is that? It spreads faster on the surface than it does penetration. If this is not really in your bloodstream yet, he said, there's a good chance. Now, his own words out of his mouth, Sue was there. If that's the case with a little surgery, it might be possible for us to get every cell of that cancer out of your body. It was even the same words, like he was in the car. Sue and I high-fived again. Well, that's what it is then. That diagnosis kept getting milder and milder. They wound up doing that on an outpatient basis. I didn't spend one night in the hospital. And I was in my early 40s then, and can you tell I survived? They got every cell of that. Now, the point of that, as you have believed, let's say it this way, he'll meet you where you are believing. He's actually doing that all the time. He meets you where you believe. And as you have believed, say, no. I was believing for way more than I got. Or you had head knowledge that it's possible. To know it's possible and believe you're walking there. It's the difference between head knowledge and heart faith. It's hard. When I first started hearing the faith messages way back, long before we knew about even Dave Roberson in the early days, and we're listening to, Faith 101, basically, and we started trying to live on it. Fell flat on my face time and time again in the early days, and it dawned on my lightning quick mind. It's hard to live on another man's faith. You got to develop your own relationship with the Lord. You got to get the word into you yourself. Now, the promises are for you as much as they are for anybody else. But do you just have knowledge of it? I like to say it this way. Or has the word become flesh in you? Has the word become flesh? He said it's your food. My words, they are spirit and they are life. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. He's talking about his word, not literally eating his flesh and blood. You eat my... He is the word. And his word, the word of God, can literally become you. The word made flesh. Not just knowledge. Linda still gets to slap me when I get there. Inside joke. She's probably laughing about it. Hallelujah. All right. That's our review. Now listen. Authority is the right to exercise power. We've read this verse so many times. Go to Matthew. I want you to see it in your Bible. Go to Matthew 28. Starting in verse 18, excuse me. And in the King James, it says all power, but you need to know that that is the Greek word exousia. If you haven't started, you ought to start writing. Everywhere you see power, you need to know whether he's talking about exousia or dunamis. And if it was me, I'd put a little E right there, meaning exousia. Or you could put A for authority. But he's saying... Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore. If there was ever a time that you needed to find out what the therefore is there for, this is it. He's saying, we could go to other places, Ephesians. He has been seated at the right hand of God. And given a name that is above every name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. His name is above all principality and power and might and dominion, place after place we could go. And he's saying here, all authority has been given unto me. Therefore, you go. with that authority in His name as His ambassador representing Him. And you've got a place in this mission. You may not be an apostle. You may not be an evangelist. But I can't find pew sitter anywhere. You've got a part in the body. And it may never be behind a pulpit. It may never be. My liver may never be seen by anybody, but I'm sure glad it's working. My liver, wherever it is, I love my liver. Pancreas. Thank you for doing your job. Hallelujah. Never gets any glory. Never even seen. I'm sure glad my liver is working today. Well, Jesus wants all of the parts of His body working today. We'll find out what it is. Be trained by the Holy Ghost to do it. Empowered by the same Spirit to accomplish it. Let me read a little bit. Every man has power within. You know, you have power. You have energy within your own body. I can go dig a ditch in my own power. I can. I can dig a ditch. You know, humanity builds wonderful. You ever been to those big giant bridges in New York? The Verrazano? First time I was on top of that thing in a truck, I got stopped up there. It had traffic. That thing is huge. If you've never been on the Verrazano Bridge, you feel like you're in an airplane up there. You're looking out and you're just like, holy cannoli. You know. And here's the thing. It moves. You don't notice it if you're driving. But if you're stopped, that thing's moving. And you're going, get me off of here. But it's an amazing structure built by humans. See, you have power, and what humans do, they get, we join power. You know, you join with me, and you join with me. Pretty soon you got enough men, and you're building a bridge. See, this goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel, though. And God's not against bridges and building things, but He doesn't want us just living by our own strength. But the point is, everybody has power within. You have some power within. But see, and man has authority over his own power. You can decide, dig a ditch or not dig a ditch. Build a tower, not build a tower. But see, that authority over your own power, it limits you to your own power. Human compassion and human love only releases human power. And it's not enough. We found that out with our friend Linda Thome, who graduated to heaven this year. But she didn't want to go. I don't think she'd come back now. Once you've been there, I'm pretty sure you don't come back. You know, okay, see you later. See you, wouldn't want to be you. But she didn't want to go. So we were all praying and we were trying to operate in His power, but it's obvious we did not. Fair? Okay, fair. And I always look at Janice because of all of us, Janice poured her life, lived there, did everything. And not meaning others didn't, but I mean, you know, did all she knew to do. I'm not belittling that. Thank God for human love. Thank God for compassion. But human love and human compassion only releases human power. But see, God's love has been given to man. It says the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We have access to a love that is beyond human love, that is beyond human compassion. And Jesus, free of charge, has given us authority to God's power. We are not limited to human power. We have access to God's power. How do we have it? When He gave that authority. In my name, heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. We have that authority. We're all trying to learn how to access that. And that's why we're teaching. So the inside joke a while ago, as I've already told Janice, I said, now, I don't think Linda would come back now. But I know we're going to press into this where we're not losing the Lindas. And when we get to heaven, I've already given the Lord, say, Lord, it's okay. She can slap me in love that we didn't make it before she graduated. You with me? Anyway. She appreciates it, what we did, but it's not enough. Okay? All right. God has shed abroad his love in man's heart by the Holy Ghost. We do have the potential. You remember when Dave was teaching on the love of God? And he says, your spirit has the capacity to expand, to actually carry the love of God. That new nature, that spirit he's created us with, are like vessels. And all of us in some measure are carrying the love of God. But Dave was teaching, as I remember, he was saying, no, God can keep pouring in that love, and your spirit has the capacity to contain it. That's why I think right now the Holy Ghost in these services is emphasizing worship more than he has maybe ever. So, let me read that sentence. Now man can function by God's love within. And through the authority that's in the name of Jesus, we can release God's power into every situation. That's exactly what Jesus did. Remember? Why? He said, it is not me doing the works. It is the Father in me. He doeth the works. But it is that same Father in Christ and Christ in us who does the works through us. Amen? Now, this is today's lesson. Only took me 50 minutes to get here. If a man chooses not to believe that God has given him that authority, if you choose to believe he hasn't given me that authority, I don't have that authority, that unbelief stops the release of God's power. Now, I know a lot of churches right now, they tar and feather me right now and run me out on a rail because, don't you know, Brother Gary, God is sovereign and he does what he wants. Turn to Matthew 17. God is sovereign, Brother Gary. What do you mean your puny little human unbelief can stop the power of God? God. You know, I call it the toad anointing. You know, God. God. You know. Now, we got time. Matthew 17:14, very familiar. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic and sore vexed. Oftentimes he falls into the fire, oft into the water, and I brought him to thy church in Tulsa. Are we not his disciples? And they could not cure him. Let's get real. I brought Linda Foam to your church. And with all your good efforts and all your human love and all your knowledge, I'm being mean to Gary, not you. I can't go there and still preach. We didn't get it done. Fair enough? We did not get it done. And Jesus, he patted them on the back and said, I really appreciate everything that you did. Thank you. And it's not that he doesn't, Janice. But he has a higher calling than praying for the sick and watching them die. Just, if it's too harsh, I understand, but I don't know what else to do. He's calling us to believe him. See, I keep having it, not just when I'm here. It's like this morning. This morning, I think Nathan intended to teach a nice service, and it's like Jesus walked through the wall and took over. He says, I got instructions. I got things I want to say. And I keep having this mini vision like that. He just walks through the wall, walks right up here to the pulpit, holds up the Bible and says, I want to be believed. When I tell you I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy, I want to be believed. When I tell you nothing, no, the enemy shall in no wise hurt you, I want to be believed. When I say go into this city and heal the sick that are therein, I want to be believed. Let's go a little farther. When I tell you you don't have to sin anymore, I want to be believed. When I'm telling you whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I want to be believed. And I can't get away from it. I don't think he'd give us an attaboy. I mean, he received Linda. Thank God Linda arrived, and I know, I mean, she had lots of good things, you know, rewards and hallelujah and, you know, whatever they do in heaven. And I don't think she'd come back now. I don't think anybody would want to come back. But that doesn't relieve us. And I'm not going to start making some false doctrine like it wasn't his will to heal her. Yes, it was. It was too. Not going to give no excuses. So verse 17, 16, I brought him to thy church at Tulsa, and they could not cure him. Now, Dave right here would say, you know that those disciples, they did everything they knew to do. If you read, you'll find out they'd already been casting out devils. They had a track record. They prayed, they probably laid hands on, they spoke, they did whatever they knew to do, but it didn't work. How many can relate? Have not we done that? We're in the same boat. Well, Jesus didn't give them that a boy. It makes me cry. I'm sorry. I don't want to hear this, but I know I would hear it right now. Got to be a man, stand there and take it. He'd walk right up to Gary and say, you faithless. He hadn't changed. How long am I? Now with them, he was there physically. He was his own body. How long shall I be with you? And how long shall I suffer you? And basically he's saying, how long am I going to have to do this for you? You bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked that devil. And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart. And I like how Jesus, I like how Dave says that. They knew Jesus well enough to know that if they asked him publicly, he would answer them publicly. So, come here, Jesus, I need to talk with you. The disciples. Why could we not cast him out? Or we might say it, why didn't it happen when we prayed? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. Now let's stop. See, I read that because of the statement I made earlier. If a man chooses to believe that God has not given him the authority of his name, that unbelief right there will stop the release of God's power. Now let's look at this, because people, many preachers right there would kick me out. They'd say, God's sovereign, he does what he wants. Well, we read the rest of the story. We read the story. Was it God's will that that devil come out of that boy the whole time? Does Jesus do anything that is not the Father's will? It's obvious that the Father wanted that boy free, and the Holy Ghost was there to manifest deliverance the whole time. The raw power of the Holy Spirit there to do it. But now watch this. God, the Holy Ghost, is there to kick that devil out. But he cannot work through their unbelief. Said another way, if you'll allow me, if you could see me right now, I'm holding out my hands like the hands of the Holy Spirit to touch that boy and get him free. But it's like there's a wall of unbelief in the disciples. Unbelief has the power to hold back the hand of the Almighty Holy Spirit. That's hard for us to fathom. How strong is unbelief? Pretty strong. Because it's obvious that that same Holy Spirit was able to reach right through the faith of Jesus and get that boy free. So how strong is unbelief? And what's really bad, Dave would emphasize this, not only is it strong, it's so deceptive. Because it's a kind of unbelief you don't even know you have. They didn't think they had any unbelief. Otherwise, why ask? Why didn't it happen? If they knew they had unbelief, wouldn't they have said, we know why it didn't happen? Why didn't it happen when we pray? Because of your unbelief. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, here goeth say again, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. See, most churches teach that that was a particularly nasty devil. They say, when it says over here, howbeit this kind goeth out, not out, but by prayer and fasting, they'll say, no, it's talking about that big nasty devil. And the whole reason that Jesus used the mountain was to belittle the devil. It's not the size of the devil. They had just come down off the Mount of Transfiguration. This is a real mountain. He just turned around and pointed at it. He said, if you'll ever learn to have real faith, you not only speak to this devil, you could move that mountain. Nothing will be impossible unto you. So was the problem the big bad devil? You could move that mountain. He's belittling the devil. The problem is not that devil. The problem is our unbelief. Don't you wish there was a church that would teach you how to deal with unbelief? Oh, perhaps we're at that church. Perhaps Pastor Dave Roberson paved a four-lane highway years and years ago into these understandings. That's available for free at his website. Because this kind of what? Devil? No. This kind of unbelief, it only comes out but by prayer and fasting. People, we're going to deal with this unbelief. Prayer and fasting. The enemy has thrown the kitchen sink at most of you and at this church. Most people think when they come here the first time, they think we purposely built it with theater seating. We know that it's because of settling of the building and things. The same carpet that was here when Sue and I started here 24 years ago. See? The devil has thrown everything. I mean, every kind of circumstance trying to run you off. And even those of you that are joining by video and whatever, by internet, by every way, you're still watching and you're still listening. You're still attached with the vision. And I'm telling you straight, prayer and fasting will deal with unbelief. It's dealing with it in me and all of us. Those devil's days are numbered. They're not going to keep killing our loved ones. They're not going to keep putting them in an early grave. Those devils are coming out because unbelief is coming out. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, now John 14. While you're turning there, let me read this to you. Many people believe, most believers believe, that the name of Jesus is above every name that is named. If you quiz them and ask them, not just at this church, most Christians, I think, is the name of Jesus above every name? And they would say yes. But most people, those same believers, no matter what they say, they refuse to believe that Jesus has given them authority to use that name to accomplish kingdom business on earth. And there it is. I know that name is above every name. Can you use it to cure cancer? Well, Dave can. Maybe Tim. Maybe Nathan Allen. Me? And there it is. See? Those days are coming to an end. It's not by your power. It's not by your holiness. It is that name, through faith in that name. One of the aspects, I know many of you could not come to the conference, but we talk about Judas. Do you realize he was one of the 12? You do realize that Jesus, he was one of the ones that Jesus paired up and sent out two by two. And the man is a thief. The man is a thief. And still, when the king declared, what they say in my name, Holy Spirit, bring it to pass. And he did it with a thief. Judas laid hands on the sick and saw him recover now. They all manifested the kingdom. Get over yourself. It's not by your power or your holiness. Believe he has given you authority in that name. Hallelujah. Did you go to John 14? Now we're talking about believing, the authority of believing. Look at our verse. We normally just start it. We leave off the first part. We say, the works that I do shall you do also. But look what it says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. And that's become more important to me as I keep seeing this vision of him walking in saying, I want to be believed. Now look at what he says here. He that believeth on me, in other words, if you believe what I say, if you believe I am the King of the kingdom, if you believe that I will not lie, then the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. Now notice, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And he hardly ever repeats himself in the consecutive verses. But this one he does again. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now back up just a few chapters to John 7, because I kept hearing this. See, there it says, he that believeth on me. And in my prayer time this morning, I was hearing, as the scripture hath said. I said, let me look that one up. Where is that? Well, it's John 7, starting in verse 37. Still hear pages turn. I don't know what we're going to do when it's all tapping on glass. When I don't hear tapping anymore on iPhones and iPads. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now notice, he that believeth on me. Now that is word for word what he said in John 14, 12. But here he adds another little phrase. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said. A lot of people have a made up Jesus. They have a goody goody two shoes Jesus that'll never tell them straight. They have a goody goody two shoes Jesus that will not say, faithless Gary, you didn't get it done. Back to fasting, back to prayer for you. I want the real Jesus. I want the Jesus. I want to believe on him as the scripture hath said. And if we do that, look at the promise. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is not that fountain of life. The fountain of life is for you to continually enjoy him and his presence and enjoy that abundant life. It's a fountain of life bubbling up within you. That's not what he's describing here. He's describing rivers, plural, of life that flow out of you. Now, if I had time, we'll do it another service. But there's a prophecy from the Old Testament where the prophet saw the throne of God. And out of that throne, there flowed a river. And along that river, everywhere it flowed, it brought healing to the nations. You are the temple of God. And the Holy Ghost is that river that's supposed to flow out of you. And honey, it's supposed to be more than just tongues. It's the healing anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the healing of the nations. The healing of bodies. Rivers. And I didn't finish reading the verse, did I? I got too excited. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit. That should be a capital S. That's the Holy Ghost. Which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. I got good news for you. Jesus has been glorified and the Holy Ghost has been given. You are the temple of God, and he wants to flow more than tongues out of you. He wants to flow those rivers of healing everywhere we go. But we got to believe on him as the scripture has said. I want to be believed, he says. Let's be those that believe him. Did you get anything out of that? Just consider this to be continued. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Just let's praise him for a minute. Thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for you, Lord. We thank you for you. Thank you for giving us your word that we can believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the rivers of the Holy Ghost flowing out of our belly. Let the nations be healed, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Tim, do you have anything you want to say? Okay. All right, now we are going to have calling in the lost tonight. 7:00 if you'd like to come. And we have service Wednesday night. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss you. Boy, his presence is here. You don't have to get in a line. Just raise your hand. I'm telling you, he is in your seat as much as he's on this line. If you need something, just say, I receive it, Lord. And if you need something for somebody else, say, I receive it for them, Lord. I mean, he's here. He's with you. You don't really have to get on the line. Oh, hallelujah. I receive it, Lord. I receive it, Lord. Say it again. Say it again. I hear it again. I speak against the strongholds of lack. And I declare an abundance. I declare prosperity in this house. To accomplish all that we've been called to do. I hear you, Lord. I'm going to come away with you. And spend time with you. Lord, I'll not neglect the gifts of your Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Have I not said, and you're witnessing, that a change was coming to the order of the services? And a change is coming to the order of your life. For the more you bow to me, the more I release through you. More change than this is coming. Be not afraid. Don't run. Don't run away, he means. But run with my Spirit. I heard that. I want to make sure I heard it right. I hardly ever do that. The King is coming to this house. Now he's here. Don't write me no letters. Those of you that were not here Friday morning at the conference, have you ever known in the natural that somebody was walking up behind you? You could just feel that presence without even turning around. You know that they're walking up behind you. That happened to me Friday morning standing right here. And I had some announcements to make, and I said, I got to hurry. He's coming. And then suddenly it's like, whoa. So was he here before? Yeah, he was here before. But his presence, it took over. He began speaking. I could hardly contain, tears. The King is coming. He's coming in a measure, in a way we have not experienced before. Be excited about that. Be excited about that.